Good morning, everyone. How are you? It's a slightly warmer morning, isn't it, this morning? And welcome to everyone that's following us on Zoom as well. Or okay, if you could be listening to this, perhaps off of the website at a later date, you are welcome in this time of worship. Let's bow our heads and commit this time of prayer to the Lord. Most merciful God, we gather in the name of Jesus, your Son, who died for us, redeeming us, and inviting us to the heavenly kingdom. Today, we come to worship you with all our hearts, all our being. We come to worship you in the Spirit as your children. So enable us to encounter you today through your Spirit, that we might grow stronger, closer, and more devoted to you. Bless this time of worship, and may all that we do this morning be honoring and glorifying to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to start with a verse from Micah. So this is from the Old Testament. This is pre-Jesus. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrath, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet, a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. And he will be the source of peace. How are your preparations for Christmas going? Decorations up, Christmas tree zero? Oh, you humbug. Presents bought, wrapped under the trees. Who's bought a turkey? Yes, there are. Oh, well, that's prepared, that is. I haven't bought a turkey yet. Preparations. Well, look, here in Micah, a long time before Jesus' birth, and in many other places in the Old Testament, there are prophecies of Jesus coming, preparing the way for Jesus coming. And this morning we're going to be looking at and thinking about peace. And also we're going to be looking at John the Baptist, the one who was called to prepare the way. But of course, we're in Advent. And so it's time to light the candles. So do I have a young, willing volunteer? Neve, you'll break your arm if you put it up that fast. Would anybody else? Would one of you guys? I know you did it last week. Would one of you like to come and light the candles? No? Come on then. Come on up here. We've got a brave one here. Now, but I hope I can... if you hold that in your fingers, right, and I'll light this end and then... So we can light two of the candles on the outside, not the middle one. Any ones you want. First candle was hope. That was last week, yes. You have to leave it next to it for a minute. There it goes. Try another one. So this week's candle is peace. Do you want to blow that out? Thank you very much. Well done. Thank you very much. Good to take a seat. I'll try not to burn a hole in the carpet with a lit match. Peace. Yes, peace. It's an interesting word, peace, isn't it? We're going to explore a little bit about what it is to have peace in a little while. But first, let me share a few thoughts with you from a video.
A humble and faithful servant of the Lord, searching a lifetime for the consolation of Israel, here's a message from the Lord. You will not die until you see the Messiah. The whole world, whether they knew it or not, waited, watched, wondered with great anticipation for divine deliverance. And then one still and starry night, we peer into the face of perfect peace. We who once waited in darkness now see the light of salvation. We who stirred in restless turmoil welcome the newborn King. He is the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. He is the long-awaited promise, the tidings of comfort, the goodwill toward man, the gift from God to his people, washing away darkness with light, offering forgiveness of sin with a cleansing sacrifice that blots out the permanent stain on the soul of all humankind and sets it into an eternal peace for all who call on the name of the Lord. The consolation of Israel has begun in the quiet town of Bethlehem. It is not the end of the story. It is only the beginning.
It is not. Christmas is not the end of the story. It is the beginning of a great and wonderful story. It's the beginning of the story of God's rescue mission coming into the world to bring peace and hope and joy and love into the world, because we have forgotten what it is to live in that way. As we take some time now to worship in song, we'll lift our voices as one people to the Lord and make a joyful sound to Him. We're going to join the music group with a few songs. The first one of which I'm sure you'll know, Come Now Is the Time to Worship. Father, we come before you this morning as your people. We're all too aware of the fact that there'll be those people around the world, Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ who come before you in war-torn areas. Maybe they're in a trench this morning, Lord, worshiping you. Maybe their church has been reduced to a pile of rubble, Lord, and there's nothing left, but still they will worship you because we are all people of God, Father. We pray for your blessing upon them as we all lift our voices as one to you. Amen. We'll sing a song which the music group has learned. We've sung it off the video once or twice before, but now the music group have very graciously learned it. Lift up your voices and lift up your praise. ¶¶ To a Christmas carol that some of you may have heard, but it's a slightly different tune, and so follow it. It's a newer version of In the Bleak Midwinter.
Winter, oh, bring
as our young people go to their time of worship themselves, we pray that you will bless them and their leaders. We pray that they will have an encounter with you that will help change their lives, Lord, and see the truth of you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. So if our youngsters want to go in their way and enjoy their time together, and Annalisa's going to come and share some time with us now.
Hopefully you all received a holly leaf and a pen as you came in. You're going to need that now. Okay. Our prayer focus today is a reminder of the sacrifice Jesus made for us all upon the cross. And also to remember at the same time that Christmas is the beginning of the story. Mark chapter 15 verse 17 says, "They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him." Holly wreaths are often used to decorate homes at Christmas. We can use the holly to represent the crown of thorns worn by Jesus at his crucifixion. As we experience Advent, we can prayerfully think ahead to the sacrifice that the small baby Jesus ultimately paid for us. So today, we're going to join our prayers together to form a holly wreath. So I'd like you to take time now to write your response and thanksgiving for the sacrifice that Jesus made, or offering yourself in response to God's service. You might just want to write, "Thank you, Jesus." Once you are done, if you could bring your holly leaf forward and pop it in the silver bowl, either now or at the end of service, then after, I will make it into a holly wreath, which will appear as if by magic next Sunday. So I give you time now to write your prayers. On this second week of Advent, today we fill our prayers with peace. Father God, we know that you hear us when we pray to you. There is so much at this time that needs our prayer, and so we lift our prayers to you today. Lord, we ask you to bring us a sense of peace during the busyness of our preparations for Christmas. Help us to not lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas. We cry out for peace for our world. So many people are caught up in war and conflict. Our hearts break when we see images of those innocent people caught up in it. Father, bring peace to those in war zones. We pray for resolution and a cease in fighting. We especially bring the people of Israel and Gaza and Ukraine to you today. We cry out for peace in our communities. Father, we know that you long for people to know you, to follow you, and we pray this Christmas that those in our communities will come to know you as Lord and Saviour. Bring peace to those for whom relationships are turbulent, difficult, or abusive. Bring peace to those who are struggling to make ends meet. We pray for those for whom affording Christmas is difficult. Help us to be aware of those who live near us, work with us, worship with us, who may need support and encouragement at this time. Help us to recognise that Christmas is about you and not the gifts under the tree or the food on the table. Father, draw close to those who face illness, tests, pain, or uncertainty at this time. Surround them with your loving arms and bring them peace. We lift the names of those known to us before you now. Lord, we ask for peace and comfort for all those who are grieving the loss of a loved one at this time. We pray especially for the family and friends of Thelma. We pray for Nick as he prepares and takes the funeral service for her on Thursday. No, Friday, sorry. In the quiet, we bring the names of those who are grieving before you now and ask you to surround them with your peace. Lord Jesus, we ask you to give us all-around peace in our mind, body, soul, and spirit. We want you to heal and remove anything that is causing stress, grief, and sorrow in our lives. Father God, bring us peace today and in the week ahead. To close our time of prayer, we will now share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Annalisa. Maxine is going to come and join me, and we're going to look at our scripture this morning. So I'm just going to give you a quick bit of background to the scripture we've chosen this morning, which was from Luke's Gospel. And for those of you who are familiar, it's the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. So Zechariah and Elizabeth here pictured, elderly couple. Zechariah is a holy man. He works in the temple. He is a priest. And here he is one day attending to his priestly duties. And he goes in to prepare things for the altar, and suddenly there's an angel appears to him. And the angel tells Zechariah some news. Now, Zechariah was a man who'd had no family. He had no children. The Bible says his wife was barren. She was unable to give birth or conceive a child. And here is the angel saying, you are going to have a son. And Zechariah is not wholly believing of this. And so the angel is suitably cross, and the Lord takes his voice for him. And so here is Zechariah leaving and coming outside to the temple, and of course he wants to tell everybody what he's just experienced, but he can't say a word because the Lord has taken his voice from him. Of course, in time, as the angel prophesied, Elizabeth was pregnant. They had a baby boy. And here they are, taking him to the temple for the naming ceremony, which was the Jewish tradition. And of course, Zechariah couldn't speak. So Elizabeth says, well, his name is John. And everybody looks at him and thinks, what? Because it was the tradition to use names that had been in your own family. And John was not a name that had ever been in their family. And so they're all a little confused. So they turn to Zechariah and say to him, well, what is his name to be? It was the custom that the father would name the children. And so he writes on a piece of wood or slate or whatever it is, his name shall be John. And at that moment that he does so, his voice returns. And that's where we pick up our scripture passage today. Because the first things out of his mouth are the following.
Zechariah's prophecy. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Saviour from the royal line of the servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness, for as long as we live. and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercies, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. May God add his blessing to his word.
Thank you. And we're going to look at some of the elements of that passage. And of course, our main topic this morning is peace. But before we do that, Brian is going to come and lead us in another song. I thought it's time we sang a traditional Christmas carol. Could Christian men rejoice? With heart and soul and voice, give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ was born today. Can we stand and sing this together? Peace, as if we could talk about anything else on Second Advent Sunday. But peace is an interesting word, isn't it, in the English dictionary? Because we can spell it two different ways. And I'm going to upset all the teaching staff, all the teachers and English teachers and finickety people of such like, because I want to play around with the word peace a little bit. There's a reason for this, so bear with me. You see, peace, oh, it's quite small, isn't it? Peace, as in the English dictionary, spelt like that, P-E-A-C, yeah, freedom from disturbance, tranquility, and even conflict, we might say. That's one type of peace, isn't it? But there's another type of peace, a portion or part of something, spelt a different way. Now, I'm not sure, you know, as Christians, that we use the right spelling. Here we go. This is what's going to upset you. I wonder sometimes whether we use the right spelling of the word peace when we're talking about God's peace. Think about it. What does peace describe? Peace spelt like that says the absence of stress. Yeah? Describes the absence of stress, worry, chaos, conflict, and many other things that might shatter our peace. It's the absence of, isn't it? That's how we think of it. But what does Jesus say when he speaks about his peace? Jesus describes peace as a gift. Let me read to you what Jesus says in John's Gospel. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Well, that's not really describing the absence of something, is it? Jesus makes clear it's not that this peace is not something that can be found in this world. And Jesus is leaving us with something that is a part of, or a portion, if you like, of God. The peace Jesus describes is a peace of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so, when I think of peace, I'm wondering whether or not we should be thinking about the other spelling of peace. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian church, one of my favourite verses, and the irony of it is because the verse before it's on the back wall there, Philippians 4:6, but I'm going to read Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul describes having that peace of God as the power to guard your heart and mind. I love that thought. I'm greatly encouraged by that thought, that God's peace has power. Now, that's not the absence of something, is it? That's the presence of something. The presence of God's power. And that power will guard our hearts and our minds. God's peace is not the absence, but it is the presence of his power. It has the power over the mind. It has the power over stress and worry and conflict and shame and selfishness. It has the power over every worldly thing that might tear us away from having a relationship with Jesus. And I'm encouraged by that. I take great joy in that because I know from my own personal experience there are lots of times when I feel things and I probably wouldn't want to tell you what I was feeling because I'd be ashamed of them. And these are the kinds of things that we think and we feel and we experience during normal life. And they get in the way of the relationship between us and Jesus. Elizabeth and Zechariah, they lived in a time, there's no social state in those times. You were looked after in your old age by the family you had. It was the family unit that was so precious. Having children and grandchildren, well, they provided the peace of mind in your old age. Families looked after each other. And that should be the same today, really, shouldn't it? In fact, family was seen as the great covenant blessing from God. Zechariah even mentions this, doesn't he? He mentions the covenant oath that God made with Abraham, that his descendants would be a great nation. They would multiply and spread out over all the earth. Also, that God's people would be protected. Much of this protection, day by day, is done by family, isn't it? And even today, we, as Christians, looking after our children, encouraging our children and our grandchildren to grow up knowing who Jesus is. But Elizabeth and Zechariah, they haven't got a family, have they? And in those days, that was treated as a great social stigma. God had cursed you. That's how it was thought of. In some way, you deserved this curse and that you were not having children. It was a great shame hanging around their necks. And especially for poor old Zechariah, because he was a man of God, a priest, a holy man who served in the temple. But his family line would end with him. So when the angel declares that in his old age, yeah, far beyond the years of normal, you know, having children time, that was long since gone in Elizabeth and Zachariah's mind, that Elizabeth would fall pregnant and have a son. Well, he didn't have a great deal of confidence in that prophecy. He hears it, but he doesn't believe it. And God silences him in his unbelief. Well, I'm not surprised in his unbelief. I'm not. Zechariah had dedicated his life as a priest to following and serving God. But there was the shame of no children, no family, and all of this was beyond his control. Neither he or his wife had any control over that situation. And of course, each one of us, as we go through our life, we will have those moments where we realize that we have absolutely no control over either what is happening or what is about to happen to us in life. And these things can tear down our joy, they can extinguish our hope, and they put an end to our peace. So much of life outside of control. And we often believe, don't we, that if we could just control a bit more of our lives, then we would be happier, we would be satisfied, and perhaps we would be content. And I call these the if-only conversations. Have you ever had the if-only conversation? If only I had a bit more money to buy the kids the presents I really would like to have bought them for Christmas. If only I had enough money to turn on my heating. Everything would be all right. If only I had a better job. If only my son or daughter would see the error of their ways, then we wouldn't actually have fallen out with each other, because they should know I'm in the right and they're in the wrong. The if-only conversations. If only I could control my temper and not get angry. If only I wouldn't say the wrong thing, then everything would just be all right. See, the thing is, we can't control our own choices, can we? Even when we're given a choice, we're not very good at making those choices for the best, are we? Doesn't work out, does it? We make poor choices. We make choices so that we can cope with our emotional turmoil. We make choices that lead us into addictions and compulsive behaviours. We know they're going to harm us. Always baffled me. Man stands at the front with chronic asthma since he was 2 years old and says he's surprised that people smoke, yeah? Well, of course, because there's no way I could physically smoke. I keel over if I stand next to someone smoking. But I've never been able to understand the thing about smoking. It's never really quite fitted with me. And especially as every packet's got a warning on it saying basically it's going to kill you. And yet the number of people that still are willing to enter into that choice baffles me. However, it doesn't baffle me, and it shouldn't baffle me, because I'm quite happy to eat far too much and know that that's not doing me any good either. So I ought not perhaps to be too judgmental about that, had I? We all have our struggles, don't we? We all have the things and the choices that we make that we know are not that great for us, and we still make them anyway. And yet still we feel if we had more choices and more control, things would be better. Many, many miserable lives led, destroyed. Many, many miserable relationships, many miserable divorces, all through the fact that we want more control, that we are afraid, destroying the peace that could be, because we want control but we don't know how to make good choices. We make selfish choices. And then, of course, we get to the mental health issues where we feel so down and despondent with ourselves. The idea that if only I was a better provider, if only I was a better husband, if only I was a better father, then my family life wouldn't be like this. And we blame ourselves and we fall into that pit of despair. If only I was a better wife, a better son or a better daughter. But this morning I want to tell you that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the ultimate peacemaker. You see, God never intended for us to be on our own with all of these really difficult life choices. That wasn't his intention. He always wanted to help us. He always wanted to be the one that was guiding us into what was best for us, giving us the things that we need and not necessarily the things we want, yeah? In rejecting Jesus, we reject choosing a life of emotional turmoil and there can be no peace. Back to the Old Testament and another prophecy. Isaiah 9:6 says this, he's prophesying about Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Well, we all need a wonderful counselor sometimes, don't we? When we're getting it wrong, we know we're getting it wrong. It's all falling around about us. We've made our choices. So what's the old saying? You make your bed, you lie in it, yeah? We've all done that one, haven't we? And found that bed's got nails in it. And it's very uncomfortable. We don't like it. We all need a good counselor. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. God sent Jesus into the world, a piece of himself, to bring peace to all who would believe and trust in him. We have to find that peace. That's our choice. That's our mission. Find that peace in all the chaos of the world. The world has managed to build such a different picture of Jesus that he's lost. He's become lost in all of the other things that the world is teaching us. Put your hope in here. Get your peace over here. Bring joy this way. And for his people, the people of God, as we've sung this morning, our mission is to encourage people to find Jesus, to find the Prince of Peace in amongst all that chaos. Let me share a video with you just for a second. He says, hoping it's going to come out.
Life isn't easy. We all have moments of struggle, hopelessness, and despair. The day-to-day can begin to take its toll, and before we know it, we're consumed, overwhelmed by stress, surrounded by fear, unable to see the light through the darkness. It's no wonder we lose our joy and forget what peace actually feels like. There is a way for hope to break through our walls, a way for our faith to be renewed, a way for comfort to surround us. We can once again feel the light shine brightly on our face. We can experience the warmth of God's love and watch the darkness be overcome. For it's in the light of Jesus we find peace.
Finding peace. It's not easy to have confidence in God. There are so many different ways that you will hear from the world not to trust God. I guess that's where faith comes in. You can sit on the sidelines and wonder for a whole lifetime about trusting in God. You can, many do, and many will, sit in a place of, I'm not sure. Will you be an encourager to help those people that are in that place find the bravery and the courage to find the Prince of Peace? For the Prince of Peace is waiting for you. He is offering you the greatest of all Christmas gifts, and that is peace, a peace of himself. An everlasting peace that, and I choose Zechariah's words, that we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. The enemy is fear and turmoil and chaos. The enemy is self-destructive behaviors that come from trying to cope with life all our own. The enemy of peace, anything that turns our hearts away from Jesus. Beware. Even for those who have committed their lives to Jesus, there are those things in the world that will tempt us away from him, that will destroy the inner peace within us that we know will tear down our relationship with Jesus. The enemy of peace, anything that tears us away from Jesus. And by gum, there are so many to choose from. This Christmas, will you choose to unwrap the gift of peace? Will you choose to ask Jesus to be captain of your life? You know, all you've got to do is answer the door because he's standing outside knocking. He's waiting for you. All we have to do is to accept that Jesus died for you to set you free from your sin. He wants to lead you away from your bad choices. He will dissolve them, our Prince of Peace. It's the greatest gift exchange there is, his life for your life. But it is always your choice. Perhaps sitting here this morning, or perhaps listening at a later date, or on Zoom, wherever you are, maybe things have tempted you away from the Prince of Peace. Maybe you have found your life slipping into more and more chaotic, a more and more chaotic nature, things not going well, feeling overwhelmed. Perhaps it's time to come back and unwrap the Prince of Peace as a gift. Let's pray together. Lord, Satan tempts me to despair. And he tells me of all the guilty things inside so that I don't feel good enough to come to you anymore. Lord, I'm scared. I don't know how to trust you. I want to have confidence in you, but there are so many things telling me not to. Help me to overcome them, Lord Jesus. Because today, I look upward and I see you there, Jesus, the one who made an end to all my sin. Forgive me, Lord, because the sinless Savior died for my sinful soul and I can now want to be set free. Come into this willing heart and bring the peace I so deeply need. Clean me out. Count me in. Lead me away from my sinful desires and bring me closer to you. Lord Jesus, show me the way home. Show me the way of peace. In your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing our last hymn together. Before the throne of God, Oh, I can never remember. Behold him. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, would I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin? Let's stand and sing together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Have a wonderful week, folks.